Good morning, everybody. I'd like you to take your Bibles right now and turn to the book of Romans, New Testament book of Romans, 14th chapter. Romans chapter 14, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And then eventually we'll leave 14 and go to some verses in chapter 15. I want you to pay special attention to this passage because we'll come back to it in our study in a few minutes. And I would invite you to stand before God as His Word is read. Romans chapter 14. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Chapter 15, starting with verse 5. 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. The Word of God. You may be seated.
We're going to sing Jesus' Firm Foundation, and it's not new by any means. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with it, but if you are, sing along. So I was just thinking about, you know, the lyrics of the song. And we've been building a house for a year, and the foundation, as those of you who've built houses or familiar with building, foundations are, I mean, the most important part of the house. So, I mean, in raising a family, having the foundation of teaching them your kids things when they're little, it's a lot easier to reinforce that stuff when they're small. I think I'll find out in a few years if that works or not. but that's what I've been told anyway. The foundation is and the building blocks for making things be just right further down the road. And so too is our walk with Christ, having our foundation in Him, being set in that. Any struggles, trials that come our way, yeah, they're tough, but the foundation in Christ that we have, it's going to stay put if a fire wipes everything else out. In our life, that foundation in Christ still stands, and we can still rely on it. So, sing along if you're familiar with the song. And yeah,
how firm a foundation is saying. strength of the Lord is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, He is with us, so be not dismayed, for He is our God, our sustainer and strength. He'll be our defender and cause us to stand, upheld by His merciful almighty hand. How firm our
Bibles again to Romans, if you have shut them. Romans chapter 15. We began a series last week, which will go for about 8 weeks this fall. It's called One Another People, Jesus in Disguise. And so what we're doing is looking back at some of the one another teachings in the New Testament, which are about relationships in the body of Christ, how we are to relate to our brothers and sisters in the Lord, in the church. And in so doing, if we are practicing those according to Scripture, we are being like Jesus. So thus the title, One Another People, Jesus in Disguise. Last week we just kind of introduced the series, kind of what it's based on, and now we're going to look at specific one another teachings for the next 7 weeks. Before we get into this one, I need to mention something, especially if you haven't been with us very long. I'm holding in my hand what's called a preaching schedule. It's always available in the back. It comes out in January. First week in December, every year, I go off on a 3-day personal retreat by myself, seeking God as to the direction we will go in the teaching in the next year, and come back with this schedule so that starting in January, we know exactly where we're going and what the teaching will be for the year. Now, I'm going to have Michelle help me with this so that I'm not making things up. Okay? I want you to find today's date, September 23rd. Okay, what does it say for the title of the message?
Come right in.
Okay, come right in. Take a look at your study sheet if you have one. What is the title of today's message? Come right in. Okay. I just want you to know, like every week from now until the series is over, that this was planned first week of December 2017. That means that on the first week of December 2017, I felt God wanted us to talk about selfishness next week, forgiveness October 7th, anger on the 14th of October, encouraging each other on the 21st, and so on. It's right there in print. Why am I telling you that? So you don't get mad at me. Because you might feel one of these Sundays that I'm picking on you. Because I know something. The only person you can get upset with in the next weeks is the one who in the first week of December 2017 guided me into putting this plan together. And those of you who've been around a long time know how awesome the providence and knowledge of God is in this planning. Okay, so just, that's for my protection. All right. So today it's called Come Right In. And what we're going to talk about is up here on the banner, actually. I don't know if you can find it, but it's the principle, accept one another. So it's right up there. You see the word accept? Okay. So that's the one another principle we're going to talk about this morning. The principle of accepting one another. Before we do that, one more thing. Have you noticed since last week, by any chance, since we started the series, that you have already had relationships with fellow Christians tested? Just this week, since we started the series. Is it possible that you've already seen some relationship with a fellow Christian tested? If so, does that surprise you? It shouldn't. Because anytime we go into the Word and we begin to learn the truth, no matter what the subject is, it seems like the enemy wants to come against it. You ever notice that? So like I told you last week, it's a risk to do a series on the one another principles, the relationship principles. Because if we're going to do that, then the enemy is going to come against it, right? And counter everything we see in the Word of God. And so, you know, if you did find some relationship with brothers or sisters in the Lord tested this week, you're in the right place. We need to pray and we need to dive into the Word of God, into the truth and encouragement of the Word of God, so we can go out this coming week and follow these scriptures. I'll just let you know, you're going to be tested for the next 8 weeks. How are we going to do? Each week we'll go into the Word, see the truth, get the encouragement, and then go out to live it. Okay, that's all the preliminary stuff. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your Word. Oh God, we just love your Word because we love you, and it's your revealed truth to us about yourself, about us, about your plans, about your will. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, you are a relational God. That is just so clear. And you teach so much about relationships. You clearly tell us how you want we as your children in your kingdom, in your body, in your church, to relate to each other. And so, Father, we will look at those things these weeks. And today, Lord, as we look at the first one, I pray that you will guide us as we look into the mirror of your word, and that we will see ourselves and no one else. In Christ's name, amen. So, accept one another. That one another principle is laid out quite clearly in Romans 15:7. So let's look at that again. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That's kind of a beautiful verse, actually. I like the sound of it. It's talking about something that's really, really good, really important. Accept one another. To accept means to receive or to welcome. You see the original word there, pros lambano. Pros is toward, lambano is to receive or welcome, accept. So the idea of the word accept is to receive to yourself, graciously and kindly, actually, to welcome into relationship. This is a relationship word. And so the idea of accepting here is to welcome people into relationship with you, to receive them graciously and kindly into your life. To say yes, to accept somebody is to say, yes, I'm willing for you to be part of my life. I'm willing to have relationship with you. Now, this is not the kind of relationship that you see on Facebook. You know, those of you who do Facebook, every once in a while you'll see on a profile, in a relationship with. Okay? Now, that's pretty narrow there. I think they mean dating, right? Okay. When we talk about accepting one another, we're talking about saying yes to people, saying, I am willing to welcome you into my life. I receive you toward myself in relationship. And so actually, I could go on Facebook and in my profile, I could say, in relationship with, and then name all of you. Because that's the body of Christ. We are to be in relationship with each other. And acceptance is saying yes to that. Acceptance is saying, I welcome that. Whether we agree on things, whether we have different backgrounds or not, whether we come from different churches historically, the history of our lives or not, whatever our preferences or opinions or ideas on things might be, even different, I accept you. I say yes to being in a relationship with you. I receive you into relationship graciously and kindly. And so Paul says, accept one another. That's what he's saying. As Christians, accept one another. He gives us a model to follow in doing that. A standard. You see that? Just like all the other one another teachings. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you. That's our model for acceptance in relationships. As my brother and sister in Christ, I am to accept you just as Christ accepted me. So the question is, how has Christ accepted you? just want you to think about that. How has Christ accepted you? And think about the definition of accept. In what way has Jesus received you graciously and kindly toward Himself? Think about that. How has Jesus received you to Himself graciously and kindly? How has Jesus welcomed you into relationship with Him? Think about that. How did He welcome you into a relationship with Him? What form did it take when Jesus said yes to you? You know, we always think of salvation as us saying yes to Jesus. Before we said yes to Jesus, He said yes to us. Think about that. How did He say yes to a relationship with you? And with that in mind, Paul says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Is that how you accept people? Like Christ accepted you? Now, if we do that, if we follow this teaching with Christ as our example, Paul says there's a result, and it's a great result. Notice, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Some Bibles will say bring glory to God. It's the word doxa. We get doxology. It means to glorify, to praise, to bring glory to. And Paul is saying when you accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, you will be bringing glory and praise to God. Is that something we would like to do? Is that something that's on our heart that we want to do? To bring glory to God? I don't know about you, it is to me. I want to find out every single way I could possibly do that. You know, it's like I say, God, show me, tell me, how I can bring glory to you. Here is one way. Accept one another as Christ accepted you in order to bring glory to God, in order to bring praise to God. What a wonderful result of acceptance in relationships in the body of Christ. So that becomes the why of this teaching, if you want to put it that way. Because everybody has to ask why. You know, why do I have to do that? You know, why should I do that? Well, that's the why answer. In order to bring glory to God. So I guess the question is, how important is bringing glory to God to you? If it's really important, here's one way to do it in your relationships with your brothers and sisters. Is accept each other. It brings glory to God. Now, I don't know if any of you have noticed yet, but as I took you through that verse, I skipped a word. Anybody notice that? Even as I had it typed out on the sheet, I skipped the word. Depending on what your translation is, it might be a different word. In mine, it's the little word then. My Bible reads, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Some of your Bibles will say, therefore, accept one another. Right? How many Bibles have therefore? Okay. Some Bibles, maybe it's the older ones, will say, wherefore. Anybody have one of those Bibles? Okay. I skipped that word. Then, wherefore, therefore. It's an important word in grasping the teaching in verse 7. Because many of you who are Bible scholars, or maybe not even Bible scholars, know that you should pay attention to words like therefore, or wherefore, or then. Why? Because what's coming after that word therefore is the conclusion to something that was said before. It's wrapping it up. We call that context. Okay. So that means that this one another principle in Romans 15:7 is actually the conclusion, the summary of something that came before, of the context. So we're going to look at that briefly. Because we want original intent when we're studying Scripture, don't we? So we want to look at the original intent. What has Paul taught that gets wrapped up, concluded, with the teaching, therefore, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God? I'm going to warn you. It's easier to take Romans 15:7 all by its itty-bitty self, as beautiful as it sounds, and go out and try to accept one another. After I show you the context, the original intent, Romans 15:7 will be much harder to go out and practice. But we have to know the original intent. What is this summarizing? Concluding. So, that's why I read Romans 14 to you. Let's go back to that. Here is the context of the one another teaching, accept one another. Notice in chapter 14, verse 1. In my Bible, the first word is accept. Okay? It says, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. And then if you notice, at the end of verse 3, you have the idea of accepting again. You see that? He ends verse 3, for God has what? Accepted him. You see, the subject of acceptance begins in 14:1. And it follows the same pattern of 15:7. It says you need to accept somebody as God has accepted them. Isn't that what 15:7 says? Therefore, accept one another as Christ has accepted you. So, this is the context of our one another teaching today. So, let's look at that. He says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. So, the context here is what Paul calls disputable matters, disputable issues, disputable subjects. Okay? The idea here is, in fact, the word is dialogismo. It's from the word logos, words, ideas, thoughts, that type of thing. And dia, D-I-A, you know, diameter, it means to separate. When you draw a line through a circle, you know, to do the diameter, there's a separation there. And so the word here means separating words, separating ideas, separating thoughts, separating opinions, separating preferences. Okay? The NIV says disputable matters. Okay? So what he's saying is, you need to accept one another when it comes to disputable matters. Now, let's look at specifically what he's talking about to the Roman church, the Roman Christians. There are apparently two disputable matters that are at issue in that particular church. Verse 2. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. And later on, in about verse 6, you're going to see the idea of meat. So the first disputable matter in the Roman church is apparently they're disputing. There's a separating thing going on. And it has to do with what you eat. And it's probably the same as 1 Corinthians, things going on in the Corinthian church in chapters 8 and 10 there, about eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. In some of the pagan religions of that day, there were sacrifices made, an animal would be sacrificed to some pagan god, part of it, and then the other part was sold as groceries, okay? And as people were coming to Christ and these churches were starting, there were people who were thinking, oh, we can't eat that meat. We can't buy that meat and eat it because part of it was offered to an idol. That wouldn't be right. And then there were other Christians who were saying, it's just meat, guy. It's just meat. As Christians, we can eat anything. As long as we give thanks for it. You know? As long as we say, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, we can eat it. All right? So, that was a disputable matter in the Roman church. Some thought it was fine to eat anything, including that meat. Others said, oh no, you don't want to touch that stuff. We're not going to eat that. And what had happened, apparently, in that difference of opinion, in that difference of ideas and views, judgment had started to happen. People were judging each other for their view. People were looking down on each other for their view. Isn't that what he says? And he says, don't do that. Okay? The other issue, the other disputable matter, looks like it had something to do with days, special days, sacred days. Verse 5, one man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Verse 6, he who regards one day as special. So apparently, there was another issue going on that was separating. And that was that some people felt that there were certain special sacred days. And it could have been people who came from backgrounds where there were certain festivals that they celebrated. Maybe even coming from the Jewish religion, certain feasts and festivals. But there was a group of people in that Roman church that felt there are certain days, certain sacred days, special days that we need to observe. And then you had another group of believers to say, what's going on here? Every day is the same with the Lord. No day is less sacred or more sacred than any other. And so you had this difference of opinion about days in the Roman church. So those were the two disputable matters, the two separating ideas, separating thoughts, separating words and opinions that were present. And the way Paul presents it, it's clear they weren't handling those differences very well. There was judgment, and there was looking down on. So, you know, try to picture that church. And maybe depending on your history in churches, you can picture it quite easily. What it may have looked like in that church. As on these two issues, you had separation. And there was judging. And there was demeaning, looking down on, over the disagreements. Can you picture a church where that gets out of hand? Disputable matters. Well, it's interesting. Because right away, you're tempted at this point to say, I got to read the rest of 14 because I got to find out what Paul says is right and what's wrong. I got to find out whose side Paul takes. You know, when it comes to the meat, the eating food, who's right? Who's wrong? When it comes to the days, sacred, special, all alike, who's right? Who's wrong? It's like, Paul's the umpire, he's the ref, I want to see what his call is, you know? And if that's what you're looking for when you read chapter 14, you're going to be disappointed. Because that isn't Paul's concern. You see, these are what he calls disputable matters. People don't agree. What he's concerned about are the undisputable matters. The undisputable matters. The issues, the matters that are more important than eating meat or not and observing special sacred days. Paul, throughout this chapter is more interested in those things. And I'm going to call them undisputable matters. Things that are so important that come before the disputable matters. So let me just point them out to you. We're not going to study in detail here. You can look at it yourself. What are some of the undisputable things that Paul emphasizes that seem more important to him than even these two issues? First of all, obviously, that there be no looking down or judging. That is undisputable. That should not take place in the Church of Jesus Christ. That's Paul's view. I mean, so he over and over again says, don't pass judgment. Don't look down. Verse 10, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? Verse 13, therefore let us stop passing judgment. That's undisputable, isn't it? As far as Paul is concerned, that is undisputable. That should not take place. That's more important to Paul than anybody's opinion on meat or days in that church. That there be no judging, no looking down. What's another undisputable? Well, Paul talks about the importance of personal conviction between you and God. He mentions that a couple times. Verse 5 at the end of the verse. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Verse 22. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Apparently to Paul, personal conviction is really important. You need a personal conviction. It's okay. But keep it between you and God. So that's important to Paul. It's more important even than the issues. He goes on, he talks about not being stumbling blocks to each other. You know, causing each other to stumble in their faith. Verse 13, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. That's important to Paul. It doesn't matter where you sit on these subjects. He says, you do not cause each other to fall. You cannot be stumbling blocks to each other in the way you handle these disagreements. He goes on and talks about what I would call kingdom priorities as undisputable. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those are the kingdom priorities. Not meat and days. The kingdom priorities are righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's undisputable. Those are the priorities of the kingdom. Not these two issues that we're being fought about in the Roman church. Another indisputable matter would be peace and edification. We see that in verse 19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. See, that's the undisputable matter, is peace and edification, not judging and looking down on. It's all about helping each other grow, building each other up, and being at peace. That is the undisputable. He talks about building up each other, which is similar to edification. 15:2. By the way, you don't need a chapter division there. This just flows right on. Verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Okay, we disagree about this meat thing. We disagree about this day thing. Okay? That does not eliminate the undisputable matter of building each other up. Just because we disagree, we don't have permission to tear each other down and judge each other. The indisputable matter still in the body of Christ is to build each other up. Right? And then in verse 5, I love this. This whole spirit of unity, that's an undisputable matter in the body of Christ. 15:5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves. That's undisputable. That's what God wants in the body of Christ. He wants a spirit of unity among the people. And you say, well, wait a minute. How can you have a spirit of unity if you disagree on whether to eat the meat or not? How can you have a spirit of unity if you disagree on days to observe? I mean, aren't they disagreeing? And isn't unity all about agreeing? Well, kind of. Here's my thoughts to share with you. Unity isn't about agreeing on everything. Unity is about agreeing on the right things. You can have a spirit of unity and still disagree on the disputable matters. Because our unity is based upon the undisputable matters. How do I know that? Keep your fingers here. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This talks about the unity of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us what the unity of the Spirit is based upon. Ephesians 4, verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. There it is, the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then he gives us a list of the things that the unity of the Spirit is based on. There is one body, undisputable. There is one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Seven things Paul lists that are the basis for our unity. Those are undisputable. And those are the things that unite us. And we are united because we agree on those basic, undisputable things. Did you notice that in that list, it doesn't say, and there's one view on whether you should eat meat sacrificed to idols or not? He doesn't say, and there's one view on which days you observe and which days you don't. It's not in the list of the unity of the Spirit. You see, the unity of the Spirit is based upon the undisputable things. That's important. Because some people think unity means you agree on everything. No. The unity of the Spirit is that you agree on the undisputable things. You're still going to disagree on disputable matters. Okay. But you see, people who are living out this unity of the Spirit on the undisputable things learn how to handle then, relationally, the disputable matters that they don't agree on. So unity of the Spirit is really important to Paul. More important than the meat issue or the day issue. And then, of course, another, you know, undisputable thing is the glory of God. We can all agree on that, right? That God gets glory. He brings that up twice. He says at the end of verse 5, may God give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the undisputable. We need to be together glorifying God. That's the undisputable matter. That's more important than who's right or wrong on these other issues. That we together will bring glory to God. And then verse 7. Therefore, This wraps up it all. From 14:1 and on. Therefore, here's the conclusion. Accept one another. Just as Christ has accepted you. In order to bring glory to God. So the one another principle of accepting one another in its context has to do with what? Christians being willing to receive each other into relationship even if they disagree on disputable matters. That's the acceptance he's talking about. It's being willing to welcome into your life, into a relationship, Christians who don't have the same opinion you have on a disputable matter. It's being willing to say yes to brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree with you on a disputable matter. But because you are united in the undisputables, you're willing to accept that person into relationship. That's accepting. It's like saying, come right in. We disagree on that. We disagree on those two things. But hey, they aren't the undisputable things that we stand on in the body of Christ. And so even though we don't see eye to eye on those things, I accept you. You're my brother. You're my sister. That's the acceptance he's talking about. It's in the context of disputable matters. That's the context. He's not talking about an unbeliever who walks in the door of the church and we go greet him. We're accepting him. Now, that's a good thing to do. But that's not the context here. This is believers accepting each other even if you disagree on disputable matters. I hope you see that. Romans 15:7 is the conclusion of from 14:1 and on. That's the context. So, if you're into filling in blanks, you notice there's a couple of them at the end here. So let's fill them in. In the undisputable things, we need unity of the Spirit. In the undisputable things, there is one body, undisputable. There is one Lord Jesus Christ, undisputable. There is one God and Father, undisputable. There is one faith, not many, undisputable. There is one hope, undisputable. One Holy Spirit, undisputable. In the undisputable things, we need unity of spirit. In the disputable things, we need acceptance of one another. And you know what both do? Unity of the Spirit in the undisputable things and acceptance in the disputable things. You know what both do, according to Paul? Bring glory to God. When we stand in unity on the disputable things, we bring glory to God because we're standing for truth as revealed in Scripture. When we accept each other, even though we disagree on the disputable things, we bring glory to God. That's the main thing, is bringing glory to God. Okay, so we have some application questions. Now we're going to look in the mirror. And when we're looking in the mirror, remember my little exercise with Michelle. She's my witness. Before we started, this message was determined to be presented on this day back in the first week of December. So if this hits home, your arguments with God, okay? Here's the question. As you look in the mirror of God's Word, which today is Romans 14 and 15, have you made disputable things undisputable things? You see, we have a tendency to do that, don't we? We take these disputable things that we tend to have maybe different opinions, different ideas, different preferences. Maybe because of background. I don't know what it is, but there are issues where they're disputable. You know, you can't clearly look at Scripture and say there's a right and a wrong. It's like these issues in Rome. But we have a tendency to take our view on a disputable issue and treat it like it's an undisputable issue and everybody should hold to that or we're not united. You follow that? Do we do that? Sure we do. We take our idea on a disputable issue and we think it's undisputable, therefore everybody has to have that same idea on that issue. We make a disputable issue into an undisputable issue. And that separates people in the body of Christ. Because then what we're saying is that my view on this issue is just as important as the fact that there's one body, that there's one Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. That my view on this disputable issue is as important as the fact that there is one Holy Spirit, one God and Father of all, one faith in the person of Jesus Christ and His work. We're saying that my view on this disputable issue raises to that level. And friends, it doesn't. We have to be careful about raising our views on disputable issues to the level of being an undisputable issue. And then, of course, there would be, and it's an appropriate question. Well, Pastor, we're not dealing with meat sacrificed to idols. I don't relate to that. And maybe we could even say, I don't relate to this sacred day festival, whatever it was that they were dealing with, thing either. I'm just not getting this. Give me some examples of disputable matters that might fit that category. Okay, well, let's just kind of walk around a little bit. All right? I know of a church that years ago, a little church in northern Minnesota, that the final straw of dividing that church was a disagreement on where to put the offering plates after the offering was collected. Now you chuckle, it divided a church. Because one group was of the opinion that after you've taken the offering, you don't set the plates out where the money is visible. The other group said, no, this is an act of worship. We want it to be visible. It's our offering to God. Who was right? Who was wrong? God says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring glory to God. That's a disputable matter that those sides raised to undisputable, and it separated the church. It divided the church. Since I'm back here putting the offering plate on the table, this is a communion table, right? That's what we call it. We put the elements on that when we serve communion. There are people in churches who believe, maybe because of background, that the Lord's Supper should be observed every time you come together, every week. And there are others who say, well, no, not really. Maybe it'll lose its specialness, so let's just do it at special times where the whole service is just that. It's not a tack on. And that's a disputable matter. But their strong view is either way. So who's right? Who's wrong? God says, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring glory to God. It's a disputable matter. Look at this nice, beautiful brown carpet. It could be that there are people who really felt it should have been a light green to match the chairs. Is it a stretch to say some churches divide over the carpet? It's not a stretch, is it? Is that an undisputable matter or disputable? It's disputable. We can have unity in the Spirit and still disagree on the color of the carpet, and yet it can become an issue, right? Or I know a church that, because of the painting the nursery and, you know, the color of the walls, can I humbly admit something? I've been here almost 40 years. I have no clue what color the walls are in the nursery. And I don't care. But in some churches, people care, right? You've been there. That's a disputable matter, isn't it? What color the nursery is? And there are people in churches who raise that to the level of undisputable. It happens. I would guess in every church, now I'm really walking on shells here. I would guess in every church you would have Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. Who's right? Who's wrong? God says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring glory to God. Unity of the Spirit isn't based upon our political preference, right? Paul told us what it's based on. One body, one faith, one hope, one Lord Jesus Christ, right? Should I keep going? In every church, you probably have parents who have chosen homeschool and those who have chosen public school. Who's right? Who's wrong? God says, accept one another, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring glory to God. It's a disputable matter. How we handle it's the important thing. How we handle it in the unity of the Spirit, right? Did I write anything else down? Oh, look what we have up here. There are people in some churches that would say, get that off the platform. And then there are people who say, no, let's use it to worship God. Who's right? Who's wrong? The Bible says, accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring glory to God. It's not an undisputable matter, it's a disputable matter that we need to handle in the context of the unity of the Spirit. Now I'm enjoying this, so I'm going to see what else. Oh! In some churches, this becomes a disputable matter, right? Translations! Is it NIV? Is it NAS? Is it EV? Whatever? Is it King James? Is it the Living? And in some churches, it divides, doesn't it? It's preference. But people take that disputable matter, that preference of theirs, they raise it to the level of undisputable. Right there with the deity of Christ. Right there with salvation by faith alone. They do that, don't they? I mean, the way they handle it, it seems that way. What does the Bible say? Who's right? Who's wrong with the translations? Accept one another as Christ has accepted you in order to bring glory to God. I think I've made the point, okay? We may not relate to meat and special days. But there are many possibilities today in the Church of Christ all over the world. This is relevant. And that's what accept one another means in this text. It's in the context of these disputable matters and how we relate to each other, even though we disagree. We accept each other. We may disagree on those things, but I welcome you into my life, into relationship. We may disagree on those disputable matters, but I say yes to a relationship with you. I'm not going to reject you over a disputable matter. That's the context. So with all that in mind, how are you doing in the area of accept one another? In the area of that one another principle. With all that in mind, the context, the original intent, how are you doing? How are you doing? You know, every time we look in the Word of God, we're looking at a mirror, aren't we? That's what James says. It's a mirror. And when you look in a mirror, It's not about looking at somebody else, seeing their reflection. When you look in a mirror, it's about looking at you, reflection of you. So when we look in the Word of God, it's not about what's this saying to the guy two rows behind me. Looking in the Word of God is about what is this saying to me? I'm looking in the mirror of God's Word. And here He is saying, in the area of disputable matters, accept one another. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You. Thank You for this teaching that can be hard now that we know the context. Father, I pray that we would be one another people in this area. That we would see what You wanted us to see today in the mirror of Your Word. That we would respond to whatever You're showing us about ourselves. And Father, may we come out of this teaching today willing to respond in a way that will go along with the unity of the Spirit that we share and that will bring glory to You. In Christ's name, amen.